Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation, taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University, focuses on the race for Attorney General, and we are joined by Republican Bernard Pepakai. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
And we start off with the most basic of questions. Why did you decide to run for Attorney General?
Well, Tom, I decided to run for Attorney General because the Attorney General and the Attorney General's office has always affected everything about my life, my entire life, mm-hmm. whether indirectly or directly. The neighborhoods that I have lived in, the people that I have interacted with through the years have always had some intertwinement with either crime or the criminal justice system or, you know, people that you know, always been a part of everything my life represents and has been about. One of the first things I learned in law school, and you typically learn in law school, is that you should the value and the relevance of knowing all sides of a particular issue or argument, because it makes you that much stronger mm-hmm. when you know all sides of an issue and you're just not coming from one viewpoint or one vantage point. I'm the best person for Attorney General for the state of Delaware because I am the only candidate that has substantive experience in all aspects of the criminal justice system. This is why. I grew up in Northeast Wilmington, and between Northeast Wilmington and Garfield Park off the Route 9 corridor. And when I was 18 years old, I was arrested and convicted of a felony drug offense. The offense occurred months earlier when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. However, my arrest occurred after my 18th birthday, and I was charged and convicted as an adult. At that time, I had given up all hope in life. You know, my life hadn't been the perfect life even up to that time. And I had given up hope in life and didn't expect to even live past 25 or 30 years old. It was my attorney that suggested that I should attempt to go back to high school and ultimately apply to college. I received my high school diploma by taking correspondence courses through the mail. And I was surprisingly accepted into college. From the day I stepped foot on the college campus as a student, there was not a doubt in my mind that I was going to be an attorney and I was going to positively affect the criminal justice system. Now, during that time, the challenges, the heartache, the embarrassment that I had to go through being a convicted felon felt like an unbearable weight on my chest. But despite that weight on my chest, and through determination, grit, and the grace of God, I was able to graduate from college magna cum laude and from a superior law school. When I came out of law school and I came back to Delaware, I clerked for the president judge of the Superior Court. I served as a deputy attorney general in the Department of Justice. I served as the deputy legal counsel to the governor. I served as a commissioner in the family court of Delaware. I served as the county attorney for Newcastle County government. I served as an attorney for the Delaware General Assembly House of Representatives. And for almost the last 2 years, I opened up my own private practice where I practice criminal defense as a part of my practice. The criminal justice system in Delaware does not work. It is unjustly harsh to some, and it is shamefully neglectful to victims. It over-incarcerates and under-rehabilitates. It is fiscally and morally deficient. As Attorney General, I will help reduce the incarceration rate in people that are incarcerated in our system, and at the same time help reduce the cost that this criminal justice system is causing to our taxpayers, all in the same vein while reducing the crime rate and increasing quality of life for all. What I have is something that no one else have. I have the total package as it relates to the criminal justice system. I have the prosecutorial experience. I have the criminal defense experience. I have the judicial experience. I have the legislative experience. Mm-hmm. I have the policy experience. I have the mentoring experience. I have the experience of actually going through the system myself and experiencing the system personally. I am the living embodiment of what everyone already acknowledges needs to occur within the criminal justice system. And because of that, I am substantially equipped to serve as Attorney General for the state of Delaware, and I want to be an asset to my community. I want to better my community. I want to help my community, and I believe I can do that. I am the right person at the right time doing the right thing for the right purpose, and that's why I want to be the Attorney General for the state of Delaware.
You talked a lot about your background and the different pieces of that background. What in that background do you feel maybe specifically separates you from the other candidates for Attorney General, or makes you perhaps better suited than the other candidates for Attorney General? Is there one piece that you think really separates you?
The one piece is the collective of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
No other candidate in the history of Delaware has had the collective of pieces that I have. No other candidate has that comprehensive piece. Yeah, you may have a candidate that may have 30 years of prosecutorial experience, just by sheer age, mm-hmm. Have those type of characteristics. But I have the prosecutorial, the defense, the judicial. I've seen it from the perspective of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it from the policy. I've seen it from the legislative. And just going through the system, seeing it from the perspective mm-hmm. of those who are actually most affected by it, it places me in a unique position. There has never been a candidate for Attorney General like me before. And I believe that can be a benefit to the people of Delaware, and I want to give that benefit to the people of Delaware because I believe that I have the most comprehensive knowledge of how that system works.
Let's talk about some specific issues, starting with legislation to rewrite the state's criminal code, revise, consolidate, streamline it, stalled in the General Assembly this year, in part because of opposition from the current Attorney General, Matt Dehn. Where do you stand on this effort, which has now been in the works for a number of years?
Well, I believe that the criminal code is deficient in many ways. It definitely needs an overhaul. I think that's pretty clear. There are a lot of the issues that are identified. They do exist. And I think that the criminal code should have an overhaul of some sort. The question is, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the total rewrite, I support the effort, but I don't know if that is the proper mechanism because of it may have some unassumed or inadvertent consequences.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you do a total rewrite and, I'm not sure what happens to certain case law and mm-hmm. precedent as to whether or not, when issues come up related to charging decisions or what to charge, what not to charge, or certain things, if you don't have certain precedent, you may be starting from scratch or it may leave a degree of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I support the effort. I don't know if that's the proper mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open, but, again, I'm not certain that's the proper mechanism.
Fair enough. One issue we've heard a great deal about in this race, and you brought up earlier, is mass incarceration and seeking ways to lower the state's prison population. A number of ideas have been suggested. Are there one or two primary ways you feel this issue should be addressed?
Absolutely. My way is I believe that you hear a lot of talk about the back end of the criminal justice system. So you're taking a population that exists and you're saying, okay, let's keep the same population, let's keep the same rate, and let's figure out how to ways to get people out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the most effective way. What my goal is I want to keep people out of the system in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep people out of the system in the first place, you're not even talking about jail. You can prevent certain crimes and do certain things that reduces that rate on the front end. I would first start with juveniles. And I believe that this can be done with juveniles pretty effectively. And I give you some examples how. When I'm attorney general, I believe that my status as an attorney general in and of itself would serve as a certain level of inspiration for certain juveniles either in the system or at risk of being in the system simply because of who I am and what I have gone through and what I accomplished. I can tell them how I can explain to them and relate to them how they may feel or what they may be seeing and how they may be seeing, and can explain to them how they can get from point A to point B to better themselves so they don't have to either stay in the system or they don't have to go in the system. So when I'm attorney general, I plan to go into every public high school and speak to each public high school so those children in those public high schools that may be going through something can know that it doesn't have to end with what they're seeing right here and now. The other thing that I think that we can do on the front end as it relates to juveniles is that, you know, when I'm attorney general, one of the things that I plan to do is require all of my deputy attorney generals to mentor at-risk youth.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it builds a relationship. It builds a relationship that doesn't exist. So you have this at-risk youth sees this law enforcement, this prosecutor, and it can become a relationship where this isn't the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And it builds relationships throughout communities throughout our state that have been where these relationships either has not existed or they have been severed in recent years. And so this at-risk youth who's building this relationship with this prosecutor and this prosecutor who's building this relationship with this child, this prosecutor, when he or she making their charging decision, they can say, hey, this sounds like little Johnny. And little Johnny, I know little Johnny's circumstances. So instead of for charging little Johnny with 10 charges, little Johnny really, this person really should be charged with this one charge because I understand, you know, it went down like this and not like how I would have originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then little Johnny, when little Johnny sees someone in his neighborhood do something bad or he has information, he has a law enforcement a prosecutor that he has a personal relationship with, that he trusts, that he can say, you know, I heard about this crime and I think such and such may have done that. It builds communication and it humanizes both parties. The child humanizes the law enforcement officer,
mm-hmm.
and the prosecutor humanizes the child, and it's no longer a case. And I believe that can prevent crime. And then the third thing is how we prosecute cases in general. One thing that I would do is I would want to advocate to give more autonomy to schools to handle certain things internally in the mm-hmm. schools. For example, 20 years ago, if two middle school kids got into a fight on the school bus, they would be suspended from the school bus and they would come back the next day off of suspension and they're best friends again. Today, those same two middle school kids get in a fight on the school bus, they're arrested, they're kicked out of school, they're charged with assault, they're put in the criminal justice system, and once they're in the system, they have nowhere to go but further in the system. And then once they're in the juvenile justice system, it creates a much greater likelihood that they're going to be in the adult justice system. Those are instances that should be handled by the school, not by the criminal justice system. So there are multiple things that we can do. And we can also do things on the back end to reduce the incarceration rate. For example, people that are convicted of crimes and they serve their debt to society should be allowed to move on with their lives like everyone else. Otherwise, you're forcing them to do things that may not be law-abiding, because at the end of the day, if someone has to eat, they're going to find a way to eat if they're desperate enough, no matter what that entails. Just like if someone is thirsty and there is a dirty cup of water in front of them, they may not drink that water, that dirty water initially, but after you go so long, they're going to drink that dirty water. And we're dealing with the same situation. What better example to demonstrate that people can get on there with their lives than if you had the chief law enforcement officer as attorney general in that position who also went through that and was able to get through their lives? So I think that we can do things that stop punishing people after they have already paid their debt to society.
I want to talk about another area that there's been a fair amount of discussion about, and that's racial inequalities in the criminal justice system and ways to address that. Where does addressing that issue start for you? What would your initial focal point be?
Well, I think that the criminal justice system has a lot of components, and the Attorney General's office definitely sets the tone of the entire criminal justice system. So as Attorney General, where it would start with me is internally within the Attorney General's office, although I recognize that there are other components of that system where some other things would need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But where it can start in the Attorney General's office is, one, I think that the office has to be reflective of the population it serves. And I think that's the first thing. If you, like I said earlier on, one of the first things I learned in law school is understanding all sides of a particular issue or argument. Mm. And I think the same is applicable as it relates to criminal prosecution and offices that serve the public. It should know all sides of the applicable issue. And currently, and over the last 15 years or even more, and perhaps, the Attorney General's office doesn't have that. And particularly over the last, 7 or 8 years, it hasn't had it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not reflective of the population it serves. It should be people throughout that office that reflects Delaware population. So you have someone in that office that can understand the circumstances related to the particular cases. You currently don't have that. I think that's where it starts. I think it also starts with certain policies as it relates to charging decisions, because the bottom line is that the Attorney General cannot get someone out of jail once they've been sentenced to jail and they're already in jail. The Attorney General can advocate, perhaps, but they don't have no authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a false sense of hope to think the Attorney General really has that kind of authority. But what the Attorney General has authority with is the charging decision. So I think there are certain charging decisions that can be policies related to charging decisions that could be implemented that can help that. For example, in the city of Wilmington, there are all kinds of enhanced charges that a person can have for just because they're in the city of Wilmington. Because, mm-hmm. for example, if you're around a school,
right.
church, park, that kind of thing, you can get enhanced penalties. So a person's conduct in the city of Wilmington, merely because they're in the city of Wilmington, they can do that same conduct on their front porch.
Right.
And that same person do that same exact conduct somewhere in Newark, somewhere in Hocassin, or where have you, the charges are substantially different. The bottom line is the city of Wilmington is predominantly minority. And the bottom line is those that are being charged like that are predominantly minority. The Attorney General's office has the authority to set policies as it relates to those type of duplicative charges.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something directly that the Attorney General's office can do. And, so those are the things on the front end as well as the back end that, you can do to start with the racial inequality.
I also want to touch on the question of how the state handles possible police misconduct, officer-involved shootings, use of force, other situations like that. The Office of Civil Rights and Public Trust was created in 2015 to help handle these issues and others. Do you feel that office has been effective? And if not, what can be done to improve it?
I'm not sure if I have heard, in my personal experience, heard anyone state that they believe the office has been effective.
Okay.
I don't I haven't seen any fruits of that office one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something that goes on behind the scenes that I don't know about. I don't know. But what I do know that if I have a tax problem, I go to a tax attorney. And if I have a criminal problem, I will go to a criminal attorney. So it just seems like by nature and the way I think about the process, if you have an Office of Civil Rights and Public Trust, you should at least staff it with a civil rights attorney. And I think that's one thing that you can start with. Instead of for, you know, someone that actually believes in that cause. And I think that that within itself can make a difference. That would be one thing. The other thing is obviously resources.
Mm-hmm.
But even with the same resources, depending on how you situate the people and how you staff certain things, determines the inspiration. Some people who may have a 37.5 hour a week job may work 37.5 hours a week because that's their job. And there's nothing wrong with that. Then you have some people who may have a 37.5 hour a week job who may work 70 hours a week. They're not required to work 70 hours a week, but they do that because they take pride in their work and they like what they do and that's what they're about. So I think that if you have someone in those positions who, if that's what they're about, I think that creates a different tone. So there are so many different nuances, but I don't think anybody who would have a tax problem and is subjected to penalty by the IRS and needs a tax attorney to advise them will go to someone down the street and get someone that only does real estate.
Fair enough. What do you see as the Attorney General's role in battling the opioid crisis?
The Attorney General definitely has a role in that. That's very important. The opioid crisis is a big deal. But I, quite frankly, I think that is even broader than the opioid crisis. I don't think it's really an opioid crisis. I think it's an addiction crisis. And even though opioids is the thing that most people refer to, I think those same type of services that we refer to with opioids should be extended to those that may have been addicted to crack or cocaine, mm-hmm. and those individuals should be treated the same way the opioid crisis is treated like a health issue. Those people should be treated like a health issue so it can be fair and equal across the board. With that being said, one of the things that is needed is there needs to be more advocacy for treatment beds, more advocacy for resources for treatment. When I was the county attorney, I worked with our police department because we were the first in the state of Delaware and one of the first in the country to start strapping our officers with Narcan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a part of that and those efforts to deal with that. So I have been on the cuffs of that. I have actually mm-hmm. worked in that. So that's one of the things that I can do as Attorney General as well, try to work with the various departments and agencies to try to get more resources, more treatment beds in Delaware so we can deal with it. But again, I would submit that I don't see it just as an opioid crisis. I think it's broader than that. I think if the same person that had that issue with the opioids is similar to that person that had that issue with crack.
Mm-hmm. There was talk in the General Assembly about reviving the state's death penalty after the Delaware Supreme Court struck down the previous version of it in 2016. That effort had support of some lawmakers, particularly those with law enforcement backgrounds, and even Governor John Carney suggested he be open to a very narrow death penalty, only for those convicted of killing members of law enforcement. Would you support bringing back the death penalty in any form in Delaware?
I'm a faith-based man.
Mm-hmm.
I serve as a deacon in my church, and as a general principle, I support life.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not support the death penalty. However, if the General Assembly enacted the death penalty and it required that the death penalty be imposed in a particular case, I would enforce the law.
All right. And finally, is there another issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves and you feel strongly about addressing if you're elected Attorney General?
Well, I think the issue is I've been told before that, you know, doing the same thing the same way with the same people over and over again and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. And I think that the one issue that hasn't really been addressed is that's what we have been doing. Mm-hmm. We have been recycling the same people doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So I think that the issue that needs to be addressed is let's do something different. Mm-hmm. Let's do something new. Let's try something from a different perspective, perhaps from one of those aspects that we didn't have the experience or skill set to see it from that direction before. And I think that's how you get something different and change. I think everyone acknowledged that the criminal justice system is defunct and needs to change. So I don't know how you do that, doing the same thing with the same people the same way all the time.
Bernard Pevekai, Republican candidate for Attorney General, we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
You can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and at DelawareDebates.org. This candidate conversation was taped at the Delaware Public Media Studios on the campus of Delaware State University and is part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Thanks for listening.